Well, happy race day at 8:06. Another great day along the Gulf Coast. And yes, I did say race day. Big race tonight at Mobile International Speedway. Hang on, we'll get to it. And thank them for being a sponsor of Full Throttle Racing with Kane. Now, also, Ed's Seafood Shed. Before you hit the track tonight, you got to stop by there today and get lunch. Go see Ed and Barbara. They got you covered today. A great show. Hey, we're going to talk and wrap up Talladega and head to Martinsville with SI.com's and Landmark Newspapers' Dustin Long. And how about this? We've got Dink Stevens. He's one of the motorcycle drivers and racers that you'll see actually racing tonight around the oval at Mobile International Speedway. And also, we're going to talk to a new driver. Her name is Kelly Mader. Now, Kelly is an amazing young star. Dave Mader III, you might recognize that name, NASCAR champion, and also building his own race cars. Well, he's bringing along his daughter. Next year, she's going to be in the Sportsman Division, also running at Mobile International Speedway. Excited to have her on today. But first, let's talk to the man who really has Mobile International Speedway in the palm of his hand. That would be Rick Crawford. And man, it is going to be a spooky, scary night tonight with the Demolition Derby, and you've added so much more. What a great, great weekend. How's it going, Rick?
It's going great, Kane. Glad to be on Full Throttle this morning, buddy.
Well, what are you going to be dressing up as for Halloween, first of all? Let's get the important stuff out of the way. You going as a race car driver?
I guess still a promoter.
That's a good thing to be.
Well, sometimes I hope people don't recognize me, but maybe that's the case on Saturday night. But I tell you what, it's a night full of fun. It's the fastest one around Mobile National Speedway, and I've been holding it back and holding it back, and I just got to let it out of the bag. WWE superstar Paul Bearer will join us Halloween night tonight at the racetrack, and we'll have a great time this Saturday night. Mobile National Speedway, come on out. And all I can say is, when I asked him to do it, he said, oh, yeah. So it's going to be a Halloween happy kind of night with a lot of destruction.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. Tonight it's going to be amazing because no points night. So, you know, all these guys, there could be some paybacks, you know, something like that. I don't think any of our drivers would never do that. But you never know. You'll see some extra fireworks. And, again, you've got the motorcycles. And, again, I've got one of the drivers, Dink Stevens, August 6th, the last time they raced, he was involved in an accident and actually flipped off his bike and got damaged and was hurt. We're going to talk about his recovery and see about getting him on here. But can you explain about these motorcycles around Mobile? Because a lot of people haven't seen that.
Man, I tell you, you know, you're speaking of Dink, had a little mishap the last time he raced here, and one of my safety workers, Dale Hammock, went out to comb the racetrack after a Saturday night's race and found his face shield.
Jeez.
With a big scratch across it, and we got it here in my office. I'm going to have him sign it tonight. But anyway, these motorcycles are absolutely out of control, but they know what they're doing. They're some of the best riders in the country, and I understand there's going to be a rider that just won the Grand Nationals at Daytona that's going to be here.
Wow.
And he texts me on my phone, and he says, the track record's going to fall. I'm coming to get it. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, this ought to be a big night. And so I'm looking forward to that. But when you put the two-wheel warriors on the racetrack, and it's like when I raced cars, it was like,
now, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks to Rick Crawford again. What a huge, huge event tonight at Mobile International Speedway. The Halloween bash again. The Bombers, the Sportsmen, the motorcycles. And, of course, we've got the Demolition Derby. And like I just mentioned a moment ago, that Dink Stevens was going to be on with us. Actually, just talked with Dink, and Dink is back in the hospital. He's got a somewhat of a sickness that he's trying to deal with right now. And so our thoughts and prayers go out to Dink. And we won't have him on, obviously, today. He's a little under the weather, but definitely listening to the show. So prayers and thoughts again to you, Dink, and we'll miss you and your shiny white bike out there for sure tonight. But I tell you what, one new driver that's coming up through the ranks, you have seen her around the go-kart tracks nationally and doing a great job at it. And now she has got her father, Dave Mader III, building her one of the best sportsman cars that's going to be out there. Guarantee it. We're talking to Miss Kelly Mader. Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
Good morning, Kane. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Full Throttle Racing. We love it on a Saturday morning. And I want to kind of talk. We've had you on before, but I really want to take a little moment to explain how important you are in the racing in this area. And I'll tell you why I mean this. You've seen Johanna Long, and I was just talking with Rick Crawford about this, make it to the ranks. We were talking about Grant Enfinger making it to the ranks, making it up that NASCAR ladder. Cale Gayle, for instance, got the truck ride next year. And you have got, well, you come from the blood of racing. I've seen you race. I've seen you from the go-kart tracks on up. And there's something about being a Mader when you're at the track, for sure. Dave, obviously, your dad has just had an amazing NASCAR career, and now he builds cars, and he also helps a lot of the local teams, but he's building you a special ride, isn't he, Kelly?
Yes, sir, he is. We're working hard on it, so hopefully we'll have a good car next year.
Well, let's talk about what you do before you get into the sportsman. You've been doing some kart racing. How many years have you been doing the kart racing?
For about 5 years now.
About 5 years? Okay. And when you got started into this, you know, obviously you grew up around racing. What made you decide to get into racing? And was it dad's influence or just growing up in it?
Well, ever since I was 2 years old, they said I've always been wanting to be a race car driver. And finally, I got the opportunity when I moved down here. And I've always wanted to do it. That's all I could see myself doing.
You do good in grades. You get good grades in school. So obviously, that's a good thing as well. You can always fall back on. But you really got your eyesight for that racing. And now let's talk about some of the championships and some of the accolades of Kelly Mader. Can you give us a little history of some of the special trophies and races that you might have remembered?
Yes, sir. My first win was down here in Mobile at Sunny South Raceway. And I also finished second in points that year.
Wow.
And I have over 20 feature wins. That's about it.
Well, that's about it. You make it sound like it was nothing special. 20 feature wins, and not just on asphalt, but on dirt. Which do you like better? You like the dirt or the asphalt?
I love asphalt. You know, I've always grew up around it, but it's so much funner and it's cleaner racing. You can go three wide and still be able to dig, you know.
Sometimes four wide.
yes, sir.
And hopefully it works out. Well, Kelly, we've seen you around Mobile International Speedway. You're actually you're selling the 50-50 tickets throughout the year, so you're already a big part of that racing community. Everybody knows your father there and obviously been watching you. So what's it going to take to get you into that sportsman into next year? You guys are obviously in the process of building it, but there are some certain things that you have to get, and you're also looking for sponsors, aren't you?
Yes, sir, we are looking for sponsors, you know. I mean, it's so much money to be in the racing. Any level of racing takes quite a lot of your own money, you know. And right now we're trying to build a car, but it's a slow process because we're lacking on the sponsorship side. And any sponsorship, I mean, $50, $1,000, anything helps.
Well, right, because you have to get the driver's suit, and there's certain things you have to get for the car, obviously. But I've been to the shop as your dad's building our open-wheel modified, and it's been neat to see the process on your car. And he's got a nice shop and a lot of area to build in there. And the thing is with the sponsors, if I was a sponsor, you know, I would want to think, well, think about this. You've got a NASCAR star's daughter getting ready to race at Mobile International Speedway. If you look at some of the cars that your father's already built, let's talk about Michael Sanford, got his first win this year in a brand-new car that your dad built, and probably one of the most impressive burnouts I've seen. So your dad knows how to make a car that can do a great burnout.
But that is for sure.
But, you know, you guys actually are pretty close, too, because he really is your right-hand man. He is the guy that really talks to you. How do you guys communicate at the racetrack when you're racing with karts? Because he's there. He's kind of engineering everything with you.
Well, he's my best friend, you know, and it's so easy talking to him because he understands what's going on when I say it's tight through the middle off or I'm telling him it needs more cross. He understands that, so it's easier for us to talk and to adjust to the go-kart or the car. So it helps a lot being close to him and him having the racing experience that he does have.
Well, you know, everybody's got Facebook. You've got a Facebook page. Type in Kelly Mader. Actually, you have a fan page, isn't it? What's your fan page, Kelly?
Yes, sir. It is Kelly Mader Racing fan page.
Okay, and that's something that your sponsors want to kind of take a look at because she has done a good job putting on information about her wins and also some of the photos of the carts and stuff. And again, you're just ready for the next level. How old are you, Kelly?
I'm 15 years old.
So before you even get a driver's license, you're going to be out there in a race car. How cool is that?
Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, sponsorship is important, and that's what makes the racing go around. And I'm just going to plea to anyone that might be considering getting into racing. If you put your name on Kelly's car next year, I guarantee you, you're going to get a lot of press coverage out of it. You're also going to get a pretty smile from that young lady when she's in Victory Lane hoisting up that trophy. And she will probably even maybe let you take the car around for a spin. What do you think?
Oh, yes, sir. You know it.
Well, Kelly, what is it about Mobile International Speedway? I talked to Rick Crawford just a minute ago about this. You've been out there for a little while, so as a young racer that's coming up and preparing to race there, you've been a fan more than anything, and you've seen how it works on the inside. Have you seen some big changes since Rick Crawford has taken over the track, Kelly?
Yes, sir, I have. I've seen great improvements, and there's still more improvements to be done, and I know that Mr. Rick Crawford is working hard on that, and I hope that the fans are enjoying it as much as I am.
Oh, I guarantee it. Now, Kelly, and I've done this with you before in another interview, but I want to hear it again. There's a lot of young people to listen to the show in the mornings with the parents, and we're glad to see a lot of those go-karters. This is a huge, huge thing in the Gulf Coast. A lot of go-karters in this area. Good way to start. Most of it's dirt oval, but again, you move on to asphalt. Do you have any words of wisdom for maybe some of the younger drivers, or maybe even the parents that are considering, you know what, I think my child might want to do this racing thing, but gosh, where do I go? How do I start?
Yes, sir. Go-karts are a great place to start. And because there's so many levels of competition, you have your local tracks, and then you have your nationals. And you can travel around. It's a great family experience. And for all the young kids out there that do want to race or, you know, or love to watch the sport, it'd be a great opportunity for them to be out there and just make a few laps to see if they want to do it. There's always opportunity for any young race car driver.
Oh, absolutely. And that includes with our team. Hurricane Motorsports just purchased a couple of dirt carts that we're working on after we get the modified built. And next year, we're going to have some of the younger kids. That way, we might see in a pits that might not have an opportunity to get in a car to just try it, sample it, and see if they like it. So that's what we want to do, is definitely build racing in this area. And where do you see yourself, Kelly? After you make the sportsman, you get up there, what's the next logical step for you? Do you want to go all the way?
Yes, sir. I want to go all the way to NASCAR. You know, my grandpa and my father both made it to NASCAR, and I hope that I can do the same thing. I want to be the first woman to win a NASCAR Sprint Cup race. Yeah, that may be a big goal, but I know I'm big enough to achieve that goal, so...
Well, I think you can do it, and I'm just going to say Danica ain't got nothing on you, girl, okay? So I've seen your race. I tell you what, again, as a promoter side or as far as a sponsor, you want an aggressive driver, a young lady that's going to be just going to be out there next year. I'm telling you, this is it. This is Miss Kelly Mader. Kelly, I appreciate you coming on this morning, and we're going to see you at the track tonight, aren't we?
Yes, sir, you'll be able to see me.
All right, there you go. Kelly Mader, she's going to be out running the Sportsman. We appreciate her coming on board again. Coming up next, we've got more racing to cover, including Talladega. We revisit Talladega with SI.com's Dustin Long in just a few minutes. This is Full Throttle Race We Came right here on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks to Ed Seafood Shed and Mobile International Speedway. Welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Again, thanks to Mobile International Speedway. Last race tonight. Let me tell you again, we'll have Hurricane Motorsports out there. We'll have the Bombers and our Demolition Derby car. So you've got the Bombers, Sportsmen, and the motorcycles running tonight, and the Demolition Derby, and trick-or-treating. And yes, all of us Hurricane Motorsports guys are going to be dressed up too. You won't even recognize us. Anyway, that's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure to get the kids out there. Thanks to Ed Seafood Shed also on the Causeway, home of Your Mama's Platter. Your mama told you not to eat that much, you still do, and it can realistically feed about four of you. It's that good. Well, let's talk NASCAR, shifting gears now, and we're taking it from Talladega to Martinsville this week with SI.com's and Landmark Newspapers' Dustin Long. And Dustin, first of all, good morning. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, doing great. Now, let me ask you something. I want to go straight into the race. I was shocked, and this was kind of interesting. Trevor Bayne left Gordon after agreeing to draft with him to help his teammate, Matt Kenseth. Now, didn't he say on the radio at Talladega that, yes, I mean, there was conversation between the two. Can you give us just a little bit more detail on what happened? Because I know Jack Roush kind of – you heard stories over the weekend that Jack said, you know, yeah, he said he's denied giving orders, but at the same time, he didn't want those Ford guys to play with the Chevys. What have you dug up this week, or what have you heard?
Well, I mean, obviously to go back to that situation, going into the final restart, you had Trevor Bayne was without a drafting partner. There were 12 Fords in the race at Talladega. One was a start and park, so that meant there was an odd number of Fords. Trevor spent a good part of the race drafting with Robbie Gordon until Robbie had some issues, and then after that he started drafting with Marcos Ambrose, and then Ambrose I think was collected in that last incident and got some damage. So then going into the final restart, he was talking with Casey Mears because Casey Mears didn't have a drafting partner, and it looked like they were going to be together on the outside row in the restart. Then all of a sudden NASCAR changed the lineup, and all of a sudden Jeff Gordon's right in front of him. Gordon gets on the radio and says, "Hey, you want to work with me?" And they start talking back and forth, and Trevor's like, "Sure." So basically, you know, they were going to work together. They take the green, they're working together. Well, after the green, Matt Kenseth's back there behind Bayne, and he's working with David Reagan. Well, David Reagan has a mechanical issue and falls the wayside. Mm-hmm. So now Kenseth is running up on the back bumper of Trevor Bayne. Mm-hmm. Now, two-car draft works well, three cars doesn't. Mm-hmm. And as essence, you know, Bain was told, hey, you've got a Ford, you got a teammate behind you, go with him. They make the move low. Gordon gets dumped, and I think Gordon was running third at the time. I was there on the backstretch on the next to last lap and ends up finishing 27th. Mm-hmm. So there's that. I mean, now everybody's denied team orders. Now an executive from Ford has said, look, we didn't issue team orders, but we did say, hey, you know, to all our teams, if there's a chance you can help each other out, please do so, because this championship, you know, we've got some teams in the championship. And look, Ford hasn't won a championship since Kurt Busch won the title in 2004 with Roush, the first year of the chase, because you had Stewart win in 05 and with Gibbs, and that was a Chevrolet, and then you've had Jimmy Johnson with Hendrick win it ever since. Now, remember also, too, this whole thing about Ford cars helping each other out. Remember back at Chicago, the first race of the chase, Matt Kenseth runs out of fuel on the last lap and gets pushed. Well, who does he get pushed by? He gets pushed by another Ford. It was J.J. Yaley. Yeah. Yaley was looking just – he saw a Ford in trouble, knew, you know, they said, hey, if you can help Fords out, do it when you can. He did it. That's what it was. You know, look, if you're a manufacturer, even if you're a team owner, if you want to give team orders, then that's, you know, that's your prerogative.
Sure.
Now, you're going to do that, that's fine. It may help you win a race. It may help you win a championship. It also may lead to some repercussions. If you're going to make those decisions, you've got to live with the consequences eventually down the road. Now, maybe something happens, maybe nothing happens, but, you know, that's your right. You know, where it gets into where some people are hearing the idea of, you know, maybe they were saying, hey, if you have a Roush Yates engine, you better not be helping. If it gets to be a threat, that's a little bit different, but still, you know, this is big business. There's a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes. You know, if it was truly sports, you know, you just say, go let the best man win, but that doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are other issues that play a role into it. So, you know, those are things that play, that are a factor in it.
I just thought it was interesting what Gordon had to say, and I think Trevor actually apologized about it afterwards, and, you know, it's just what we've heard, so I appreciate you going back and talking about that. And Richard Childers now reaches the 100th win in a NASCAR series, and that's pretty special for that 33 Clint Bowyer. Did you expect Clint to be there? I mean, once again, it's Talladega, it's a crapshoot, that's what they say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anybody can be up there. So, I mean, you know, look, Dave Blaney finished third. If a couple more things had gone right, you know, maybe Dave Blaney wins that race, so... you have that. Now, obviously, you know, it's a great achievement for Richard Childers Racing, 100 career cup victories, you know, to kind of, you know, compare that. Hendrick Motorsports is sitting on 199, you know, career cup victories and looking to get 200, you know, this weekend at Martinsville. Jimmy Johnson's run well, and and Jeff Gordon has run well in the past. There's a good shot number 200 for Hendrick could come, you know, this weekend at Martinsville.
That would trump Childers, wouldn't it, man? 200 to 100.
And you also have to remember, Dale Earnhardt Jr. finished second at Martinsville in the spring race. He's finished in the top 10 five of the last seven races at Martinsville. And, you know, talking with him, this is a race he's looking forward to because he spent a lot of time, you know, in the time since, thinking about what could have been, what he could have done more of to have kept Kevin Harvick behind him. Instead, Harvick passed him with four laps to go and won at Martinsville, and that was one of the best opportunities for Junior to win this year, other than the Coca-Cola 600 where he ran out of fuel on the last corner of the last lap. But in that situation, look, I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into a fuel mileage, you know, gamble, and how much the fueler gets in the car, the fuel mileage strategy by the crew chief, and how much the driver saves. Situation where Junior's running against Harvick in the last few laps trying to hold off onto the lead, that's just one-on-one battle. So I think that's the type of loss that kind of sticks with the driver, and I think it's kind of stuck with Dale Jr. a little bit more. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what he does this weekend. He's bringing back the same chassis that he ran that finished second there in the spring.
Let me ask you, what is it going to take for him to get to that level? They've tried team changes, they've tried car changes, they've tried every motivational thing. He still seems depressed when they talk to him in the media. You don't see him smiling like when he was in that red number 8. What's it going to take to get Junior back where he needs to be, or where he wants to be, where any driver wants to be?
Well, he's making progress. Now, obviously, it's not as fast as everybody wants, and that's understandable. And certainly started out, you know, early on the season, they started, you know, like a house of fire and got as high, I think, as third in the points. And, you know, that midsummer slump is something that's kind of always been, you know, something that's affected him or his teams that he's been with. You know, remember, it's still his first season working with Steve Letarte, just like it's the first season for you know, Jeff Gordon working with Alan Gustafson. There's been some good points. There's been high points and low points, and I think you need to work through those. I mean, it's challenging to win a championship in the first year with a driver crew chief pairing, a new pairing. So you learn, you live, you learn, and you move on. And, you know, I think with what they've done this year, provided Hendrick suddenly doesn't fall behind on his chassis, I think you expect bigger and better things out of the Hendrick bunch, and particularly Dale Jr. For next season.
Well, you know, I want to visit something that we touched on last week. NASCAR suspended 6 crew members from Bobby Labonte, David Rudiman, Martin Truex Jr. for the rest of the season for improper modifications to the windshields. We hit this on Talladega. This happened. What can you possibly do to a windshield that is going to make that big of a difference to where they're out for the rest of the season?
Well, it's a four-race. I mean, there's only 4 races left, sure. So it's a 4-race penalty. But it was a modification to the thickness of the windshield, and certainly that can be 2 things. That can be a safety issue. NASCAR really comes down hard on safety issues, and as it should. If anybody does anything that compromises the safety of the car, you know, looking at what's happened in auto racing and in motorsports the last few weeks, I mean, there's still that element of danger out there. So if you start compromising safety, that's an issue. Certainly there is the potential possibility maybe it gave a slight aerodynamic advantage. Now, maybe it's not a whole lot, but when you're going 200 miles an hour, that just kind of multiplies, and maybe that's the little thing that, combined with some other things, helps somebody do better. So, you know, safety, possible competitive advantage, and that's why they came down hard. They've suspended crew chiefs and car chiefs for 4 races before, even 6 races, so... it's just a matter of, you know, they're just kind of following protocol.
Right. Well, you know, you speak about safety. You talk about the new tire in Martinsville. You remember in the spring race, I really didn't build much rubber on the track, and then halfway through the races, these cars were kind of drifting up and losing the rear end. What is this tire compound going to be like compared to what we saw in the spring race?
Well, they're talking about supposed to provide more rubber on the track. Now, it'll be interesting to see what happens. It's going to be really cool temperatures. It's been cold here at Martinsville, so... it's just a matter of getting that built up, but and we'll see how that goes. I mean, it didn't really kind of settle in until partway through the race last time in the spring. So Goodyear had a tire test. They had in August the tire test that had Dale Jr. there, Brad Keselowski there, Bobby Labonte, Jeff Burton, and David Ragan, and they've come up with something they feel like is a little bit softer compound than what they ran in the spring that should provide that rubbering in of the racetrack and provide a little bit more grip for these guys in the corners.
Well, you know, the top 3 drivers in points I see at your blog, if you go to Dustin Long blog, just type that in Google, it'll pop up. You've got Carl Edwards, Matt Kenseth, and Brad Keselowski all driving brand new chassis. Tony Stewart, 4th in points in a chassis making its 8th start. And, you know, how is he feeling on the point chase? You talked to Tony recently?
Well, I mean, he as he says all the time, they just take it one day at a time, one race at a time, and certainly, I think this is a key race for Tony. They did not run as well in Martinsville in the spring, I remember sitting in the press box just surprised at how far back Tony was, and this was at the start of the chase. I mean, you know, Tony said he didn't, you know, figure he was a championship contender, and I frankly agreed because I just thought there were 2 big races. And the chase that he had not performed well earlier this season, Dover and Martinsville, where he had just been poor. And he backed it up in Dover in the chase and did not run well there, and that cost him points. I'm going to be interested to see what he does Sunday because he did not run well at Martinsville in the spring. Have they got that figured out? I know he said they're kind of leaning a little bit more on Ryan Newman's setup. Will that work? If not, you know, he loses another 15, 20 points. 3 races ago, I think he's almost all but out of it. So, in one sense, this is, you know, I think this is a potential last stand for some of these guys. And I think, you know, if Tony has a bad race, I think it may be just about over for him, unless Carl and Kent and Matt and Brad all suddenly have problems. But and obviously, you know, this is not as good of a track for Carl and Matt through history. I think Ken's has finished 6th or so in the spring. And he did finish this, but I think, you know, Carl's kind of been up and down, so, you know, he finished 18th. So there's the possibility to gain some points in some of these guys this weekend, and we'll see if some of those guys further back can do that.
Well, not just Sunday, but you'll actually have some action on the track Monday. You know, all the Cups teams next year are going to fuel injection, so they're doing a test there. Can you tell us a little bit about what they're learning on these tests and what they're trying to see or what they're accomplishing?
Well, it's just a fuel injection test. Obviously, NASCAR going to fuel injection next year. This will be the, I think, should be the last test of the season. Obviously, at Daytona, they'll do another test in January. That'll be fuel injection test, make sure they get everything figured out. They feel like that they're moving in the right direction with things and kind of working out all the little bugs in the system and stuff like that. So they had a test at Charlotte. They've had a test at Talladega, and now they'll have one at Martinsville. I think 9 teams are expected to be there. Just be a day-long thing just to kind of gather some information, learn a little bit more, and just kind of move on.
You have anyone that sticks out of your mind as far as a winner for Martinsville this weekend who looks strong there compared to what we saw in the fall? Because, like I said, it could be a completely different race with this new compound tire.
Well, I mean, certainly when you talk about Martinsville, I mean, the first two guys that come to mind are Denny Hamlin and Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
So, you talk about guys of the last stand, Kevin Harvick, fifth, 26 mm-hmm. points back. He won in the spring. I think he's got to be top three, top five to continue with his championship hopes. So I think he needs a big race, and it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Okay. Now, and other than that, what do you think as far as with what you've seen at some of the – we talked with Rick Crawford about this earlier in the show about how, In racing in general, the crowds. We're still dealing with some of the financial issues. You go to Talladega, for instance, this last weekend, offering free camping all over the place. They've got 2-for-1 tickets, $49 for both race weekends, Saturday and Sunday events. Have you seen everything that these tracks have been doing since you traveled to all of them? Is it working? Are you getting more people in the stands? We still see empty seats on TV, but compared to where we were last year with the economy and racing and the fans themselves, are they spending the money they were last year? Are they showing up?
Well, it's still tough. This is still a tough economy for a lot of people. I mean, you're talking about 9-10-11% unemployment, even higher in some areas. So, in some regions. So, I mean, it is a tough sell, and it's tough to go to the races when you don't have as much money. I mean, certainly, Martinsville does what it can. They've got backstretch seats along the first 5 rows. I mean, as low as $25. Other seats are $55 or even $40, and some of their more pricier seats are like $60-$70. So, comparatively speaking, Martinsville's a little bit cheaper ticket. Then you have to factor in the travel costs. There aren't many hotels in that area, so you have to stay most likely in Greensboro, Winston-Salem, or Roanoke, Virginia, and those are all about an hour plus away. So, there's some challenges there. I mean, I know there are some hotels in the past that, used to be like, a certain rate and would basically double, almost triple the rate for Martinsville race weekend. I mean, it's kind of how they make their money. And look, if people are willing to pay it, then that's the price that, that's the price they're going to go at it. If they raise the rates 3 times their normal rates and nobody shows up, well, then the hotels are going to back off. But if they're filling their hotels and people are paying 3 times the normal rate for a race weekend, I mean, that's the American economy at work, whether you like it or not.
That's true. Well, we're talking with Dustin Long with SI.com and Landmark Newspapers. Just wrapping up Talladega, talking a little bit about Martinsville. And there was a news update out that Chad Knaus, admits that he's told his driver, Jimmy Johnson, to intentionally damage the back end of his race car if the 48 team won Sunday's race at Talladega Speedway. Can you explain why? Because it was to, quote-unquote, cover our bases.
Well, certainly, from his point of view, is the tolerances are so tight that obviously NASCAR allows for race damage. They understand, like, when they measure the cars after Martinsville, they know that the bumping and beating is going to offset some things, and there's a tolerance that's allowed, but there's also, if the car's all beat up to heck, it's kind of hard to put that, measure that tolerance. The instruction was, look, if we win, beat up, make sure the back end's beat up.
And Johnson said, really?
And, I mean, you can take it a couple different ways. I mean, it's Chad being smart. It's Chad covering his tracks. Maybe it's Chad being, in a sense, telling his driver something that maybe he should have told his driver in the hauler.
Yeah.
It may be something that every other crew chief tells their driver, or maybe should be telling their driver.
Right.
It's been an interesting week with this whole issue of team orders, with the windshield, the cheating on the windshield, or the mistakes that were made there. And now, a crew chief telling a driver to intentionally damage his car after the race in case he wins to potentially avoid you know, some of the inspection issues. You know, I know for some fans it's been a revelation, and it's just, you know, how maybe dirty or swarmy the sport can be, or the underbelly is. For other fans, they, you know, some people seem to like it and say, hey, this is the way the sport used to be. You know, and this is an example of sport going back towards past, and they like it. So take it for what it's worth. Obviously, every sport's got its little behind-the-scenes things that, you know, upon closer inspection, maybe doesn't fall under the fairness of true competition in sports, but so much on the line, you're going to push it. And that's what, you know, a car owner wants his crew chief to push it to the limit. Crew chief wants his driver to push it to his limit.
Yeah.
The fan wants his driver and team to push it to the limit. This is what you get.
Yeah, that's well put. I appreciate that, Dustin. How can we keep an eye on you at the track today in Martinsville?
Certainly on Twitter, at Dustin Long. The blog is at pilotonline.com or hamptonroads.com. You can find me on Google+, Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm kind of all over the internet.
There you go. Well, that's going to do it this time around. Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Again, thank you to Mobile International Speedway. We'll have the Hurricane Motorsports thundering Thunderbirds out there. And I know Mr. and Mrs. Frankenstein are supposed to be in our pits. I think there's a swamp monster coming too. And kids, make sure to bring your parents and have them let you dress up, because we're going to have all the race cars right on the track. It's going to be awesome. Trick-or-treating pallbearer from the WWE. I mean, come on. It's going to be a great night of racing and Halloween trick-or-treating. Bring the family out to Mobile International Speedway. But beforehand, go get dinner all dressed up at Ed's Seafood Shed again on the causeway. We appreciate them coming on board. We'll see you next weekend. God bless. Love you all. And again, go fast and turn left. Aight?